Last week we looked at verse 5 and that phrase, giving all diligence. And as you read throughout the scriptures, you will find many different references by many different writers of scripture. We're looking at Peter here, but Paul wrote extensively on spiritual growth. And you'll notice a component that always finds itself, whether Paul was talking about looking at it from an agricultural view or an athletic view, it always starts with diligence. Diligence in, you know, we're getting ready and spring is just right around the corner. Isn't that just a good thing to say? You know, March starts this week, and I'm sure we have maybe one or two blizzards scheduled for March. You know, March can be notorious for those heavy snows, right? You know, and so we sort of expect it maybe in January, February. But what happens is our time in our gardens, or if you're an outdoors person preparing your flower beds, you have to admit that that requires some sort of diligence, correct? You got to work, you have to, first of all, a lot of times clear out the old, then you have to work the ground, and then you have to plant, or if you're like my wife pointed out to me the other day as we were walking in house, and we got some tulips that are peeking up through right now, and so all those what we call Easter flowers are coming around, and possibly maybe you see them at your house. But when you experience any type of gardening or something, it requires diligence. An athletic event, if you are working towards participating in any type of things like that, it takes diligence. I remember years ago going to a men's retreat, and I'm probably not the most athletic person in the room. I would say that, you know, I don't do a whole lot. Although I'm glad that they put my office up on the second floor because I at least walk steps every day. I think they did that because they said this guy's about 30 pounds overweight. We got to work it off of him somehow. Let's do that. But I can remember going to men's retreat thinking, now what is, I can't play volleyball because I'll be stiff for a week. I can't, I'm not going to go out. And I used to participate in a home run derby, but then I threw my back out all the time. So I thought I would play air hockey. That's about the, you could practically play air hockey in a wheelchair, right? I never got so stiff and sore in my life from playing air hockey because I realized this, I don't like to lose. Whether you got to throw yourself on the thing or what, I don't like to lose. And so I was very diligent. And so in our spiritual growth, Peter says this, giving all diligence. And I want you, I hope that last week, because when I think about this stuff, as I review what I've said and how I've presented it, I always find that I come up lacking, but I hope that you understand the idea that if I am to grow and become like Christ, it's going to take a diligence in my life. Diligence in which I use in many different areas of my life as I presented to you some of my hobbies, which I find very easy that I have the desire, the determination that ends up turning into discipline to do it. And so we talked about that. We talked about it starts with faith. We talked about the fact that we will not grow spiritually if we're not saved. And we challenged in the area of saving faith and actually presented that in the second half of the message. Now today, we're going to start off with number three, which is the qualities of spiritual growth. That's what we're going to call them. And you say, well, this is just a list. Well, I've not jumped around from scripture to scripture, but what I have done is let Peter tell us, no, notice how he says this, add to your faith. That's what he says. That's what he starts off here in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And the first one is virtue. And so, you know, we're not, when we talked about adding to faith, now we're talking about growing. You know, we are saved by grace through faith. through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, right? That's what the Word of God says. So we're not doing this to obtain eternal life. We are adding to our faith that we might become more like Jesus. And people think, well, you know, aren't you, well, let me ask you this first of all today. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad that your salvation is not dependent upon who you are, but who Christ is? Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Well, you say, well, Pastor, you're setting the denominator or the goal real low. Oh, no, I'm just saying this, is that if I think that there's anything that I can do to merit salvation, you just completely missed it. Amen? You know, you get up and you have a good day and you think, oh, you know, I read my Bible today, I prayed today, and I didn't run anybody off the road to work today. I'm having a good day. God must really smile on me today. I'm here to say this, is that is a wrong line of thinking. Amen? Yeah. Because when it comes down to it, even your best day, even my best day, I still do not deserve the grace of God that has been given to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't want you to walk out of this and say, oh, I really feel so bad. No, what we need to do is realize that in Christ we are made free. In Christ we move and have our being. In Christ, we have our relationship. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? That's exciting. Sounds like the 8 o'clock service at Bakerburg. Everyone's sitting there going like this. See, I had 2 cups of coffee today. Okay? And a donut, a glazed donut. And I got to thank Mike for that, buddy. That's good. That sugar and that caffeine, buddy, gets you right there, right? All right. So we're going to start giving everybody a shot of caffeine when they come in. So that when you say amen, say amen, brother! Hallelujah! If someone sat in the back and did that, you'd all go... But anyways, let's go. A, virtue. So we're going to look at these things. Peter listed these things. So what's virtue? And you say, oh, that's just so nice. I'm a virtuous person. Well, virtue means this: spiritual courage before a hostile world. The strength to stand for what is right. Now, think about that. Do we not live in a hostile world? I don't want you to walk out of here with a victim mentality, but you have to admit, and I say this over and over and over, but it is true. We live in a world that's just gone crazy. We've lived in a world that's gone crazy, and when you present to them the answer, they're saying that truth is a lie and a lie is truth. That's what they're after. We have the answer that can change people's hearts and lives. And, oh, you can't talk about that because, you know what, we might damage somebody. Right? Did you ever hear that? We can't present the gospel to young people. We might damage them. Oh, that's okay. We'll teach them casual sex is okay. We'll teach them that casual drug use is okay. Because we know that that doesn't do anything to anybody, right? Wrong. Amen? Come on now. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Now watch this. To live in a world like that takes courage if you're going to live for right. If you want to be one of these people saying, well, I'm just going to try to get through today. And you get through the day, well, I didn't make anybody mad. Right? And people just, I don't know about you, they just, a lot of times, they're very quick to give you their opinion, are they not? When in all actuality, they don't want your opinion, do they? Oh, yeah. I like telling people, I say, I am the problem in this nation. Why? Because I'm a right winger. Why? I believe that people need to get saved. And if they don't get saved, they go to hell. Really? Do you believe that? Well, not so much. It doesn't matter so much that I believe it. The fact of the matter is, it's a fact. Amen? Now, I need to believe that, and I need to stand on that. And it's like, well, if people die without Christ, they're going to hell. And that means this: I need to have virtue. Add to your faith virtue. And what is that? The power that performs deeds of excellence. It is being able to stand for what is right and is wrong. Now, I'm not asking you to run up on the stage while they have something downtown and grab the microphone. Hey, I'm telling you, folks, my pastor told me I'm standing right. You're all going to hell. Well, that's a good way to do it. Why don't we just get sledgehammers? We're going to break all the windows. And then when they gather a crowd, we'll tell them Jesus loves them. Right? No, I mean, I think that we need to pray for the opportunities. And you know what? I'm going to share something with you. God will give you those opportunities. Don't fret. When I worked with the young people at Wood Mode in summertime, they'd bring us, you know, it's getting towards summer, and they bring the college students in. And so they would put me in charge of the college students. And that was like herding cats. Okay? You might as well try to herd cats. That's to work with young people that, they're on a painting crew, and they really can't do much other than paint and do some light things in the plant. So I'm watching them. And every year I wanted to witness to them. Now, the first day that they were with me, I didn't say, oh, you guys are all going to hell if you don't know Jesus. You know, because that's what you think. You think, oh, man, how am I going to... And I get all nervous and jerky about it. And you know what I found out? That God presented the opportunity throughout the summer for me to share Christ with them. The patience has to be on my part. Amen? You know, sometimes we go to meetings, and sometimes and it's the speaker's fault because they make it seem like, well, get a bigger Bible and walk out the door and stand out here and just knock them to the sidewalk and then sit in their chest and say, okay, my pastor told me today that all people are going to hell. Are you going to hell? Oh, no, I'm a believer. Oh, okay, get up. You know, remember when I candidated here and I told you about, you know, running a guy off the road and half killing him, but yet riding in the ambulance and telling about Jesus just in case he died before he got there, right? No, I'm not talking about that today. So that's virtue. The second one is this knowledge. Not being his knowledge, especially the knowledge of spiritual truth. And now here we come to a place in the Bible again where we can park and we can talk about the importance of God's Word in our lives, right? But I'm not going to do that because you know the importance of God's Word in your life. But I am going to mention it is that it is the problem is many times we are looking to be inspired through other avenues other than the Word of God. We become followers of people instead of followers of Jesus. We start to repeat one-liners that other people say. We end up just quoting different people all the time. Where are the Word of God? Look what Peter says here. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And once again, now he's going back to what he's saying, giving all diligence. So he's saying, okay, a diligent study of the Word of God, the pursuit of truth in the Word of God. This means this, simply this: understanding, correct insight, truth properly comprehended, and, of course, applied. That's what it comes down to, is that, once again, I said this, and not because I don't have material, but I think it's fitting at this time. This is the least read best seller of all time. Amen? And so what we got to do is we got to understand spiritual truth. C is this: self-control. If you want to put in there temperance, but self-control explains it. God calls every Christian to a life of discipline. And what happens is, do you realize this? You know what God is doing right now in your life and my life? He is diligently working to show us our true selves. That's why he's doing it. You say, really? Oh, yeah, yeah. How does he do it? You know, it'd be nice if we got a briefing every day. Wouldn't that be nice? You say, well, brother, there is sort of a briefing. That's what your Bible study and prayer time is all about. No, no, no. I'm talking about a briefing. I'm talking about where the Lord would come down and say, Dave, you know, yesterday, you really messed up. Why? Well, you know, You didn't quite act the way I wanted you to going into the office. Oh, yeah, you didn't quite handle yourself well waiting at the Verizon store. Did you ever notice how many people were at the Verizon store? All you got to do is walk in there, and they have all these salesmen. It just seems like they work in slow motion. And you're standing there, and it's just like, I think, I remember years ago, I was traveling to Africa, and Karen wasn't with on that trip, and it was at that moment, I was put in some situations in the airport where I realized that I was an impatient person. You say, well, everybody knows we all deal with being impatient. Oh, no. I realized that I really had a struggle. And God showed it to me personally. I remember being back at Wood Moat, back in the 70s at Wood Moat, and I was just a young Christian, and sitting talking to the Christians at break time. I can remember very definitely a day where God showed Dave Dressler that he had anger issues in his life. And I wept when God got through to me the fact that I had anger issues. It's like, wow, yeah. Let me ask you something. When we talk about self-control, the Bible is calling us to a life of discipline. Now, that word discipline, I just hate that word discipline, don't you? No? Okay. Are you out there? Okay. Are you out there? There we go. You're still there. So it's tough stuff, I know. But see, you know, young people, a lot of the young people went back to the junior church, but some of the older, younger people are here, right? See, you get disciplined, don't you? You get bad grades, you get grounded, right? You push your sister down and take her toy, you're done, right? You're going to have time out, you're going to sit in the couch, right? Don't you do that? And isn't it just absolutely wonderful when you become a teenager and then you get married and you wake up in your own house, and guess what? You don't have to worry about what mom and dad think anymore. Ta-da! Isn't that the truth? Now, come on, amen. Isn't that the truth? Oh, yeah. Nobody to nag you anymore. No more of those lectures, right? As a matter of fact, when the grandkids come to the house, they don't even get disciplined anymore. It says, aren't they just so sweet? And then the kids always say, well, Mom, Dad, you remember when I did that? Oh, yeah, I've grown. I've grown more than this way. I've grown in my knowledge, right? But now you've got people in your life that discipline you. And I see it all the time going down 1115. They have red and blue lights on top of their car. And they pull over and they say, hey, if you don't want to fall within these rules, we're just going to stop and give you a friendly reminder. Right? Isn't that the truth? Don't you just love it when they pull you over? Your heart leaps for joy. You jump out of the vehicle. You say, officer, I am so glad that you chose me today to grace me with your attention and that you are helping me in my life. How many of you ever said that when they pulled you over? I got pulled over with my head deacon in the vehicle a couple years ago. And some of his young people and some of my grandkids, and we were going to Williams Grove Speedway, and I had a camouflage Williams Grove Speedway T-shirt on. I had a camouflage hat on, and it was a lady policeman. I'm not a male chauvinist or anything. And it was funny. I said, "Oh no!" And it was right down there, outside of Harrisburg, where it goes from 45 to 35, And I wasn't trying to do anything wrong. I was just talking. I was just distracted. And next thing you know, I'm pulled over. She comes up the side, and I'm sitting there. You know, I am. I'm all worked up because I'm thinking, yeah, it just cost me $170 to go to the races, right? And so I'm getting my license out, and I'm looking for the owner's card. And she didn't even ask for it. She goes, where are you? She goes, you going fishing? Oh, I had camouflage on. She couldn't see the back. And I said to her, all dejected and everything, no, I'm going down to the races. That's just what I said. No, I'm going to the race. Of course, my head deacon, he's just eating this up. She said, well, why don't you slow it down a little bit? Yes! And I very gently put my window up, and I pulled her down and spun the tires. No. I drove out, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And my head deacon goes to me, now, how did you get away with that? And I said, I guess I'm just good looking. What would you deduct from that, right? But isn't that something? Now we have people that discipline us, do we not? I'll tell you one more story, and then we'll get going, okay? This takes it all. I never told you this one yet. I had the last Chevy S10 that they made before they changed the body style. And they came out with the Colorado. So I got the last S10. Nice little red truck. I liked it. I was helping CEF day camp up at Ives Run. And it's probably about 20, 25 miles from around Bakerburg there. And so I'm going up 15. I'm going up past the Welcome Center just inside Pennsylvania. 65, so I'm doing about 72. Put the cruise on. And I noticed, and you can see forever. So there was a state police that had a person pulled over. And so I didn't kick the cruise off, and I'm going, and I get about, 500 feet from there, and the state police guy turns and goes like this to me, because I did not slow down. I was in the passing lane, but I didn't slow down. And man, oh man, I kicked that thing off, and he didn't go like this, but I'm going, and man, I just, cold sweat all over. Okay? Cold sweat, I was embarrassed. Right? Now, here's the thing. I go up, day camp, come home. That evening, I'm sitting at 5 o'clock in the evening in the parsonage at Bakerburg Community Church, and a state police cruiser pulls into my parking lot, and two of them get out and come up and knock on the door. Now, what do you think I thought? That stinking rascal got my license number. And I go to the door like, how would you do that? I mean, white. Now, I'm white, but I mean, I'm talking about ghost white. Do you know how guilt feels? Do you know how guilt feels? Now, listen to this. I'm not making this up. I can't make stuff like this up. I said, can I help you, gentlemen? Yeah, somebody... your neighbor's fence was cut here in the middle of the night the other night. What were you doing? What were you doing the other morning? I didn't tell him I was speeding up 15 and that is one of his buddies just told me like this. I'm sitting there. I said, well, I figured it happened like 5, 6 in the morning. I said, oh, you know us preachers, we don't get up till 9. And he said, he was asking the questions. I said, well, you know, we are having some problems in the area. And then he told me, he said, well, Mr. Dressler, you're supposed to call us when that stuff happens. I said, okay. Boy, I'll tell you what, when they drove out, I couldn't believe how that took place. Right? I'm sitting there going, never so glad in my life that the neighbor's fence got cut. And so, self-control. See, we have a system in place now that disciplines us. And a lot of times we think as young people, but in the life of a believer, sometimes we look at that word discipline in a negative fashion. It's just like, well, because we got disciplined. But now we're talking about in a positive way, am I willing to discipline my life, self-discipline in my life, that I might live in this world to glorify God? Now, naturally, we always talk about discipline in prayer, discipline in Bible study. But how about discipline in the use of our time? Do you ever think about that? That's one commodity that I have that I can't get back. I cannot get yesterday back. I can't get last year back. Amen? I can't. You can't either. And, you know, according to the Word of God, it is appointed unto men once to die, right? And after this, the judgment. But it is appointed unto men once to die, unless, of course, Jesus comes into rapture first. Amen? Okay, what am I going to do with my time? Will I evaluate my time? You say, well, or how about disciplining of bodily appetites? Paul said this about, he says, I buffet myself. And what we do is we're good a lot of times in the areas that we practice diligence to indeed discipline our bodies. But am I willing to do that in the way that this world is and all the things that are all of the snares that Satan has out there for you and I to participate in this world that does not bring glory to God? And then discipline and sacrificial living. That, see, this is what we're talking about in our lives. You say, oh, no, the pastor's going to talk about money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about, are you and I willing to live a life that according to this world is sacrificial for the cause of Christ? We heard about this young doctor in Africa that has going home to be with the Lord. And in God's sovereignty and in God's plan and program, he determined that. You say, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Michael was reading about William Borden today. Back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, 25 years old, contracted spinal meningitis, I think it was, died on the mission field before he ever even really got to his place of service. And yet God used that immensely. Am I willing, are you willing, to live sacrificially in this world? What does that mean? I remember going to Bible college. I remember going to Bible college and seeing people who retired going to get training so that they could serve God full time. You say, well, that's just not for me. Really? What does God want you to do? What does God want you to do with your time? What does God want you to do with your resources? What does God want you to do with your talents? Peter writes, and he says this, add self-control. That's what he says, temperance. And then to temperance, let's look at the word patience, or a better word yet would be perseverance, the patient endurance of persecution and adversity. See, that perseverance, that's another one of these words we don't like. Self-control? No. Perseverance. We need to be constantly reminded that the Christian life is a challenge to endure. That's what it is. This world is not going to be your cheerleader if you want to live for God. Amen? It wasn't that long ago. I figured it up one day. I think it's 25 years I spent working in construction and industry. I just didn't work in construction and industry during the summertime. I worked full-time in construction and industry for about 25 years. I remember going to the shop every day, punching the clock, having the guys tease you at the break table. They would say this. Every once in a while, it just seemed like they would draw my card. And they say, okay, let's all pick on Davey today. You know, one time I remember a guy saying, oh, that's Davey. Call 1-800-BE-SAVED. Okay? One guy would walk in, and he's a good friend yet today. And if I mentioned his name, some of you might know him. He would call me the Reverend. Hey, Reverend, how you doing today? When you walk into the big shop, and all the other guys are there, and you walk up, and then all of a sudden they just get real quiet when you walk around because they're talking about stuff that they didn't want you to hear. That always feels good, doesn't it? Huh? Perseverance. Amen? Are you and I willing to persevere in this world? And that's what Peter says. Now, what's this? What's he talking about? He's not talking about us sitting down every day. He says, you got to add this to your faith. And it starts, and you add the virtue. Then you add knowledge. Then you add self-control. Then you add perseverance. But a lot of times it's like this. We talk to Christians. Well, how are you holding up? I'll tell you what, there were days I didn't hold up. You know why? Because I wasn't growing. Because I had no desire. And when you have no desire and you're not growing, guess what? Satan is alive and well. And he has flaming darts. And he has arrows. And if you're not going to take that shield of faith, if you're not going to wear the breastplate of righteousness, if you're not going to have the breastplate in place, if you don't have the belt of truth on, if you don't have the shoes on, guess what? You're not going to endure. I'm not talking about losing your relationship with Christ. I'm talking about a life that is lived to the glory of God. Amen? Yeah, we're not supposed to walk out here going, oh, that's everybody march in line to our cars. Okay. Yeah, because that's what the pastor says. We got to persevere today. And you know what? That's not joy at all. You know what that is? Well, we got to do this because the pastor said so. And you know what that turns into? Well, what will you say when the next pastor's here? What will you say when God brings somebody else into your life? Come on now, amen? No, our walk with God every day. Am I persevering? We have all different walks of life in this room, do we not? We have all different personalities. We have all different circumstances. And you know what? Every one of our walks of life can be lived to the glory of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And the enduring ought to be this, is that we find joy in that endurance. That's why when you come to church, this ought to be the place where we don't have to endure. This ought to be the place where we find people. I remember when I first got saved, and I went to this little country church, Three Rivers Union Church, still up there on the other side of Beaver Springs. People there prayed for me. And I'll tell you what, it was always just a blessing. All different kinds of people. You know, not everybody is as handsome as me. I understand that. Everybody's not as debonair as me, right? No, as a matter of fact, it's the other way around. Not everybody's as goofy as I am, right? My granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, listen to this. She said the other day, she's graduating. You know, a lot of things happen at graduation parties, graduation trips. You know where she wants to go for graduation, her graduation trip? She wants her grandpa to take her to Disney because she has never had more fun than being with her grandpa at Disney. So you know what? I'm just a goofy guy. That means if you see me walking down Hollywood Studios, I'm walking like this. People all look at you. They don't know if I'm a paid employee or not. What are you talking about? I do that at the mall half the time. I practice being an old man. Do that sometimes. Just go down to the mall. You see somebody you graduate with, they'll say, man, he's not real lucky, is he? Well, when my granddaughters were little, I'd sit back in the seat, put my glasses on, like I said, drive like a pappy. And they would beg you to do that. I know I'm goofy. And so what we're talking about, perseverance, are we willing to do that? It's not enough. Listen to this phrase. It is not enough to start off in a blaze of glory. We must persevere in spite of difficulties. Do you have difficulties in your life today? Come on now. Amen? Do you have difficulties in your life today? Do you? I do. Don't you? You say, well, you're the pastor. You're not supposed to. Oh, no, everything in my house is great. You walk in, you get a block from our house, it's 70 degrees year-round. Flowers bloom year-round. Right? Instant healing when you walk into the block where I live. Never a headache at my house. I just ask the grandkids to rest our ears every once in a while, right? Oh, no. See, watch this. The idea that Christianity is an unending round of mountaintop experiences is unrealistic. And yet, you know what we'll do? We'll read books where a person will write and say, oh, my life, my walk with Jesus is just so wonderful every day. They're not telling the truth. And I'm not trying to call them a liar. That's just unrealistic, folks. Amen? How about this? A quote I got here breaks it down. Breaks down life. There is the daily routine. Do you love the daily routine? I get up in the morning, and you get in there and you get a shower. That's number one. Number two, I brush my teeth. Number three, I put my deodorant on. Number four, I shave. And then I go get dressed. And you know, this morning I said, okay, that's one. What's two and three again? I'm 59 years old. I had to think what two and three was. And then there's times I get over there and I skipped two. And then I got to pull my shirt up and put deodorant on. Don't you hate that? You get all dressed. Did you forget deodorant? I'm going to do one of these. Forget it. Be back there at the back door. Everybody going out the front. What's wrong? Pastor Skip, two today. Right? That's the daily routine. The daily routine, right? Ladies, daily routine. What day's wash day? There you go. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Okay. Everyone says, you love to go shopping. Who loves to go to Walmart? Okay, we got a couple takers here. But that's the daily routine. How about this? The menial task. You know what? My wife, she's not in the room right now, so I'm going to be real nice. My wife has taught me so that 99% of the time I pick up my dirty clothes. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I might pick them up once a week, but I pick them up. Right? Okay. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a menial task? The menial task of running the sweeper. Oh, I just love to run the sweeper. Right? No, those are menial tasks. And the disappointing circumstance. Do you have any disappointing circumstances in your life? Don't think that, when's the last time that you got a letter in the mail that was addressed from God that says, today you're going to have a disappointing circumstance in your life? And you braced yourself for it, and you looked for it, and everything. Every time I have a disappointing circumstance in my life, it always takes me by surprise. Does it not you? Come on now, amen? Oh, yeah. And then, how about shattered plans? Don't you just love it? We scheduled a trip to St. John here in April. My son, his wife, grandson, and Danny's aunt, which would be David's wife's aunt, bought the tickets, paid for them. She's been diagnosed with breast cancer. Yeah. And now she has to figure out if the treatment's going to interfere with being in the air and enjoying the time down there. Wouldn't you call that a shattered plan? How about for the family that she was going to travel with, who loves her? Shattered plans. Huh, isn't that incredible? Oh, yeah. Isn't that what life is? The other Thursday night, I sat in order to deacons meeting, some guy decided to run into me. Shattered plan. I'm just glad the donuts weren't damaged. So I took them home and ate. So I was able to salvage that out of it, right? How about that? And then, perseverance is you are to bearing up and pressing on in the face of all that seems to be against us. And Peter says, add to your temperance, or add to your self-control, perseverance. Add patience. E is godliness, where he says this, and to patience, godliness. To be godly is to live reverently and obediently toward God. Our lives to be like God. And with all that means in the way of practical holiness. Remember the word practical holiness. Am I holy? Am I progressing in that? We went to the... See, it's like this, is that godliness is sort of like the term family likeness, right? We went to Freeburg, has a fire company and have a social room, and they did a chicken and waffles dinner yesterday. That was great. Gravy killed me the rest of the night, but it was good while I was eating it. Man, oh man. And you know what? I've seen a lot of people there. We sat with our neighbor, get a chance to talk to our neighbors a little bit. And I was paperboy in town, so when the oldsters come in like this now, they walk. Bird Hook was in there, and I said, hi, Bird, how are you? And he just looked at me. I said, you don't even know who I am. Nope. I said, I was your paperboy. How could you ever forget your paperboy? What are you talking about? So his wife came up, and I talked to her, and I said, you know who I am? Oh, she goes, you're a dressler. That's all I know. I don't know which one, but you're a dressler. Right? Yeah, we're at every post office across the land. The family likeness. I was reminded this week that do I bear the family likeness to God? Come on now, amen? When I get mad, do I rant, rave, cuss, and swear? There's times maybe I shouldn't even be a dresser, but I can't change that, can you? I can even change my last name. I'll still be a Dressler. Right? And then that's godliness. There should be such a supernatural quality in our conduct that others will know we are children of the Heavenly Father. The family likeness should be unmistakable. Then F is brotherly kindness. That's brotherly affection and mutual sacrifice for one another. We talked on the other week about love, and as we took time to talk about Valentine's Day, the powerful witness that we are to this world of our love one towards another. Amen? I remember when we did the game dinner, there were people who visited this ministry, whether it be in the game dinner that was Saturday night or this church that was Sunday morning, that said this: those folks at First Baptist are real. No higher compliment could you give to a ministry and a group of people. Amen? Do we express that brotherly kindness? G is love. And that's what he talks about, charity. Love for the brethren leads to love for all of mankind. And what we do is this, you see, we base, and I talked about love the other week, we base our love on emotions, and the Bible says it's not an emotional love, it's a love of the will. I just say, okay. It's not a sentimental exhilaration to experience, but a commandment to obey. The most basic Bible verse that we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved you and me unconditionally. And it says this, is that our, and look what Peter's saying. Add to your faith. You notice he didn't say, add to your faith love for first. He didn't do that. It's a progression. As we grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what it's talking about. There's a missionary. We talked about missionaries this morning. I'll close with this story. T.E. McCauley was the father of Ed McCauley, one of the five young missionaries slain by Aka Indians in Ecuador. We know two other missionaries that possibly have their name is known more, Jim Elliott and Nate Saint, right? But T.E. McCauley was another one. Or Ed McCauley was one of them. This is about his father. One night he prayed, Lord, let me live long enough to see those fellows saved who killed our boys, that I may throw my arms around them and tell them that I love them because they love my Christ. That's a statement of love. I'm glad I'm not called upon to do that right now. But T.E. McCauley was. That is Christian love. When you can pray like that for the guilty murderers of your son. Wow. I just want to bring you into... A lot of times when we preach, you say, but Pastor, why would you talk about this? Why would you do a New Year's challenge? And I'm wrapping it all up. Why would you do a New Year's challenge? There is not a thing that I preached on in the last 8 weeks that you didn't already know. I'm serious. Let's read verse 12. Because Peter had the same sentiment. He said, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Isn't that interesting? See, I'm not trying to take fire out of anything I said. I'm not trying to take conviction out of anything I said. But you know what I am saying? Is Peter said to the people that he was writing to, you know these things, and I am just here. Look what he says in verse 13. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. That means in his body. As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Oh, yeah. Let me ask you something. Does God's word stir you up? Doesn't it? That's what he says. And I'm not talking about stir you up where you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. It stirs us up by touching our lives where we fail. Amen? Now he goes on, he says this, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Now, I hope I'm around for a long time. Peter saying, you know what, the Lord might call me home soon. Not one of us is guaranteed the rest of the day. And every time that somebody passes away, you know what you think about? You think about the last time that you saw that person, the last thing that you said to that person, and that's the way it goes. Every time, right? I hear people say at funerals, I just talked to that person yesterday. But you know what? If you get word that the Lord called me home, so be it. But watch this. Peter said the same thing. You know what I want to do? I just want to remind you. I want to remind you what God's Word says. I want to remind you that we need to apply it to our lives. I need to remind you that this is what it says. And if I can share a couple stories with you that cause you to laugh, that cause you to think, that's okay. But you know what? I want to stir us up. I want to stir us up that we might remember God's Word in our life, that we might live godly, that we might be growing Christians. Because that's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. Because one day, we're going to all stand before God. We may not think we're going to stand before God, but we're going to stand before God. And you know what? I want us. I want you. I want me to stand before God. Where we'll be able to hear Him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Rather than just there by the skin of your teeth. Let's pray.